Okay, well, it's recording in progress. Time to start. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this morning. We're going to come back a lot through this service to Psalm 103, and I'll just read the first couple of verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And that's what we do this morning. We come together to praise the Lord and to remember all his grace and love and forgiveness and everything that he gives us, which is a reflection of who he is. We are so undeserving of God's favor and mercy and grace to us, but he gives it to us primarily in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we meet together this morning. So let's praise the Lord of his great love and his faithfulness to us. We're going to sing our first hymn, which is that wonderful old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's on page 9 if you're on the songbook online. It's a wonderful hymn which reminds us of God's real faithfulness to us. So if you're in the church and like to stand, we'll sing this together.
See you.
said it. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do indeed praise you this morning that you are a faithful God. Father, time and time again, in your word, you have shown that you are faithful. Father, even when your people are faithless, even when your people go astray, even when your people turn their back on you, you are still faithful. We thank you that you are faithful to every promise that you have made in your word. We thank you that your faithfulness is expressed in your Son, the Lord Jesus, who came to this earth, who lived and died among us, and then rose again and now sits at your right hand in heaven. Father, we thank you that because you are faithful, that, Lord, we can trust you. Even when life gets difficult, even when we face many challenges, we thank you that you walk with us, that you're always there, that we can speak to you through prayer, that your Spirit gives us the comfort and peace that we need to keep persevering. We thank you that even in those times, that you use them for our good and for our benefit, to renew us and to shape us. Heavenly Father, we know that we are people who need renewing because of our sin. Father, every day we sin against you, not only through the things that we do, but also through the things that we do not do that we should. And so, Father, we come once again seeking your hand of grace and mercy upon our lives and seeking your forgiveness. Lord, we thank you that we can find that forgiveness through Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was sacrificed for sins, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We thank you that we only need to come and trust in his blood to cover our sins and to confess our sins, and you are faithful and just and forgive. Father, we are sorry for our sin. We are sorry for the times that we have ignored you. We're sorry for the times we have given in to temptation far too easily. And so we pray that you might forgive us again. Lord, we thank you that you do not treat us as our sins deserve, but that each day you continue to pour your love and your grace into our lives. And for that, we are thankful. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that you would hear our prayer and that you would also hear our praise, that it might come from our heart as we say thank you for what you have done for us in Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The first reading this morning is 2 Peter 1, 1 to 11, and John's going to come and read it for us. Thanks, John.
Buddy, this morning's reading is 2 Peter 1, verses 1 to 11. It's on page 860 in our Red Pew Bible. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to the goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. He has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless this reading.
Hopefully when you came in, you got your news sheet for this week. There's a few announcements to go through this morning. So on Tuesday, we have ladies' Bible study, 7:30 online for the ladies, and Amy at the back is the person to see for that one. So that's ladies' Bible study, Tuesday, 7:30. Session is going to meet on Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. in Henty. That's for the elders. On Thursday, we have men's Bible study online, 7:30, on the person to study. On Friday, we have The Chosen. If you haven't seen this, you can get online and see it. It's really excellent, and our young people love it. So it's for our young people, 6:30 to 8:30 on Friday. On Saturday, it's going to be a busy week, we have a prayer meeting online. So we just gather together online to pray. We'll send out the details and prayer points. So that's this Saturday, from 8 to 9 a.m. for our prayer meeting. And then some advance notice for people on the Committee of Management. So this is the Central Committee of Management. We're going to meet on Tuesday, the 27th of September. So it's a couple of Tuesdays. Some advance notice on that one. A couple of other things. In your news sheet, you'll see there I've updated the website. So if you now go to the website, you can catch up on any of the talks we've been doing on the last little series. All the little hearts are there, and you can click on it, you can download it, you can listen to it. So that's there for you to have a look at. There's some prayer points. Number two there, there's a big sort of meeting with a number of people from combined churches on Tuesday in Lockhart. So we're getting together from different representatives about how we can work collaboratively together for the sake of the gospel in Lockhart. So your prayers for that would be really very much appreciated. On the back, there's the passages for next week if you're interested in reading up. And also, if you haven't got one, the Pulse is at the back. This comes out every 2 months. There's some really interesting articles, gives you a lot of things that are going on around the state and what's happening in our denomination. So that's there for you as well. And that is all the announcements for this week. Okay, kids talk time. We don't have any kids this morning, so I'm going to need your help this morning. So this morning we're going to continue in our One Another series that we've been looking at. It's the next one. So we have 10 One Another topics that we've talked about. So let's see if you can clear the board. Forgive, number four, please, Amy. So we've looked at forgive one another. Encourage, thank number two, thanks, Ross. Burdens, yes, number three, bear one another's burdens. So encourage, bear one another's burdens, forgive. Yes, Ross, pray. Now that is number six. Hospitality, thank you, John, number seven. Love, thank you, number one. That's the very first one. Speak the word. Yes, now that is number 10. Live at peace. Oh, yeah, Wendy's got the notes. Number nine. Number nine. Thanks, Amy. Two to go. 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 Yes, thank you, John. Number eight. Number eight. Number eight. Number eight is build one another up. And last one is? No, that's not today's. Starts with H. Humble, thank you, Andy. Humble yourself. Very good. So if you've got the set of hearts, you've got a nice colourful collection. All right, so let's talk about today's one. So we've got a word for today, and I'll give you the clue. Can you tell me what the missing word is? Be something to one another. Yes, thank you. Be kind. So wind, if you take off the W and you add the K, you get kind, okay? So our one for today is be kind to one another, okay? But what happens is in the Christian life, we don't tend to be kind. We tend to be something else to one another. So we'll go to the next one. And can you work out what the clue is from that one? I'll give you a clue. It's got nothing to do with the eggs. It's the thing around the eggs. So what's the egg sitting in? Nasty, yes. Be nasty to one another, okay? That's what we tend to be. We don't tend not to be kind. We want to be nasty and hurtful to one another. So think about how this works. So maybe you've seen this situation. You've walked in the shops and someone's dropped their groceries all over the floor, okay? And there's two options. Thanks, Amy. One is you can help people and pick them up, and the other is you can walk on by. Now, which one of those is being kind? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay, that's the kind thing to do. And see someone who's spilled their groceries is to stop and help them rather than just keep walking on their way. Let's try the next one. You've got one piece of cake left. You might have had this problem before. Two options. One is you can eat it by yourself. I think I've stuffed this up, but I'll say in a minute. Or we can share, which is the nasty thing to do. Sharing is no. Hit it, Amy. Okay, that is the nasty thing to do, is not to share it, okay? See how easy it is to be nasty to someone rather than being kind to someone. Next question. On a diet? No, not on a diet. Now, why should we be kind to one another? Why should we be kind? Well, our psalm for today, next one, thanks, Amy, tells us why we should be kind, because God is merciful to us. He's kind to us, and his love never fails. He is the definition of mercy and love and kind, and he's shown us how he is kind to us, because he doesn't always point out our sins and be angry, and he doesn't punish us as our sins deserve. That's kindness. Okay, we offend God, we do things wrong against God, we upset God, but in his kindness to us, he actually forgives us and does not treat us as our sins deserve. So if God is kind to us, then his people should be kind to one another. And that's the end of our kids' talk for this morning. Now, speaking of Psalm 103, we're going to sing Psalm 103. Now, just a word of warning, in the middle of it, there's a bit of a musical interlude, and sometimes I think it's actually good in songs to have a bit of an interlude in the song, because it gives you the opportunity to think, to reflect, to pray, and just to sort of absorb the words that we're actually singing and help us to focus on God. It's not in the songbook, but it's a pretty easy tune to pick up. So if you like to stand, we'll sing Psalm 103. Oh, okay, that's it. Please be seated. Can we sing the other half later or not? No, that's all right. That's all right. Let me lead us in our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Heavenly Father, we indeed are so thankful for everything that you give us. Father, we thank you for this land in which we live, for its peace and harmony, for its people, for its beauty, for its resources, and Father, for the freedoms which we so enjoy. Heavenly Father, on this day, 9/11, 11th of September, Father, we are reminded of those planes that flew into those buildings and, Father, shocked the world. Father, in such an evil and horrific act, Father, we reap the consequences of that. And, Father, we just see so much evil and injustice in our world. Father, we do pray for the victims of those attacks many years ago. Father, some may still be hurting and have painful memories, even all these years that have gone on since then. And Father, we thank you for the reminder that, Father, this world is not perfect, that it needs renewal, it needs a return to its Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we do also want to give you thanks this day for our Queen, Father, who passed away this week. Lord, we do thank you for her acknowledgement of her trust in you. We thank you for the wisdom that you gave her, the stability during her reign. And Father, we pray for those who grieve this day as well. We pray too for the future as things transition as well. And Father, we pray for leaders in our land as well, at all levels of government, that you might be with them and sustain them. Father, you would remove self-interest. And Father, be a real genuine love and coming together to implement good policies for all people in our country. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the rain that we have been having. We thank you that the crops are growing, that there's lots of colour in the paddocks. Father, we pray this morning too for those who have been affected by flooding. Father, particularly think of those in the north part of our state. Father, who have been inundated over the last few months as well. Father, we thank you that these things are a sign from you, that, Father, you do send the rain, but you also withhold the rain. And, Father, that you are in control of all things. Passage in the Bible where Jesus calmed the wind and the waves, and the disciples were absolutely terrified. But we thank you that you speak peace in our circumstances, that we can know your presence with us. And so, Father, we pray for those who are grieving, who are recovering from illness, Father, who are struggling with illness, Father, who are known to us in our church family and amongst our friends and family as well. Father, you know what is needed. Your hands of love might touch people's lives at this time. And Father, we do pray for the spread of the gospel, both here in Lockhart and beyond. It goes out that more people would turn and repent and hear about your wondrous love in and through the Lord Jesus. Strengthen your church, raise up more workers to go into the harvest field. Father, may we as your people be people who hear your word. But Father, not only hear it, but obey it and find much blessing in obedience. Heavenly Father, so often it's hard to be obedient to you in our world today, which moves so quickly. Father, there are many pressures on us from various things. But we do pray that you'd help us to just take that time to be still and to be reminded that you are God. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our second reading this morning comes from Ephesians 4, 32 to 5, verse 2, and Wendy's going to come and read it for us. Thanks, Wendy.
Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, was his word.
Let me pray as we turn to God's word. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that it's, for its power, that it speaks to us, and we pray that you'd be speaking to us again this morning and that we'd be listening and obeying and applying your word in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're going to continue in our One Another series. Now I was going to stop after 10 talks, but people have indicated they're really valuing, they're really enjoying the series, so I've decided to do a few more. Now I've heard the complaints that the front of people's fridges are getting rather full or weighed down with colourful hearts, but isn't that a great problem to actually have? And so our topic today is to be kind and compassionate to one another. And it comes from the first part of Ephesians 4:32. where Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Now, we've been in Ephesians 4 before, when we looked at speaking the word to one another. Ephesians 4, it's that turning point in Paul's letter to the Ephesians church. The first half of the letter, chapters 1 to 3, is doctrinal. It tells us what Christ has done for us and who we are in Christ. As Christians, we were dead in our sins, but God in Christ has made us alive. He has saved us from all our sins. As Paul says in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Not only this, God has included us in Christ, he's given us his Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, which is to come. But the Christian faith, it doesn't stop at salvation. It continues on. As Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So as Christians, we are saved for a purpose. And one of those purposes is that we might know Christ better. And we see that in the way in which Paul prays for the Ephesians. So, for example, his prayer in 1:17, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gracious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Then again, Paul prays in 3:17. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of all the fullness of God. Now, we've already looked at the topic of praying for one another. So if you're looking for some rich content for your prayers for one another, then look no further. Just begin to pray prayers like this one for one another and see how God will answer your prayer. But all this leads to a bigger purpose, which Peter outlines, which we read this morning. Peter says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God has saved us through Christ from his glory, that he might be honored and praised. And when his people live as God called his people to live, when we live a life worthy of our calling, we have received as Christians, God indeed does receive all honor and glory and praise. Paul insists on it in the Lord in 4:7 that if we are Christians, we cannot live as we used to in our old sinful ways. Paul says that's what the Gentiles used to do, the Gentiles being the non-Jewish people. They had given themselves over to sensuality and every kind of impurity, as Paul says in 4:18-19. But as Christians, we are different. It's as if Paul and Peter are saying, look, act like Christians for God's sake. Paul says in Ephesians 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, put off the old self. It's been corrupted by its deceitful desires. Be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Take off the old, put on the new. Remove the old self and replace it with the new self. Get rid of the old, tatty, soiled and split clothes and replace them with new, crisp, clean and bright clothes. That old printed street directory and phone book, toss that out and get the new up-to-date electronic version. Those old smelly, dirty and polluting ways of generating power, stop all that and get the new clean and green forms of energy. Now, in the second half of chapter 4, Paul gives us some examples of what that actually looks like. And some of these we've already looked at. Verse 25, put off speaking falsely to one another and instead speak the truth. Verse 28, Paul says we're put off stealing and instead do something useful with your hands. In verse 29, we're to put off unwholesome talk and instead edify one another with words which build one another up. In verse 31, Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, some people made the point on this verse that what Paul is describing here is five increasing stages of anger. So when someone gets angry, it's usually the result of a build-up of things over time. So some would say that anger first starts with the inward emotion of bitterness, and then that leads to an inward rage or the first burnings of wrath, which leads to resentment and then to yelling, or what is translated brawling, and then finally to slander. Now, there's probably some truth in all of that. Expressions of anger and slander come from the inward emotions of bitterness and resentment. But I'm not convinced that Paul has such distinctions in mind, or that that's Paul's primary point. For example, all the words listed can refer to angry verbal abuse, and that's Paul's primary concern. Hence verse 26, in your anger, do not sin, says Paul. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. The important part of verse 31 is the command. Get rid of it. Remove it. Make sure there's no traces in your life. With the help of the Spirit of God, take steps to replace it. But what do we replace it with? Well, verse 32 helps us out. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. We're to replace the six vices of verse 31 with the three vices of verse 32, of which the last part of verse 32 is a great starting point. We need to learn to forgive one another. Forgiveness is the way to chop down the tree of bitterness and resentment. If you let that tree grow, it just produces fruits of rage and anger and slander. And Jesus says, by your fruit, you will recognize them. Forgiveness is actually one of those things that actually brings healing, both to the offender and the person forgiving. It liberates them both. It allows relationships to be restored. And that's exactly what exactly happens between us and God, when we seek his forgiveness for all the wrong that we've done against him. So it makes no sense to Christian to claim forgiveness by God and yet have this attitude of non-forgiveness towards one another. Forgiveness is something that we must put on, and without it becomes really difficult to be kind and compassionate to another person. If you harbor that anger and bitterness towards someone, you're more likely to be nasty and spiteful than kind and compassionate. And so these three attributes which Paul lists, they run together. But for our purposes this morning, we're going to look at the other two, kindness and compassion. Now, Paul's already spoken about these two concepts early in his letter, and he's when speaking about Christ and what he's done. So in 2:6-7, he says, and God raised us up with Christ. He seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So what exactly is kindness? Well, we use that word kindness a lot, and you might have heard something like this. He thanked them for their kindness and support. Or, you know, it would be kind on your part if you actually invited her. But what does actually kind actually mean? Well, if you go off to the dictionary, it defines kindness as a type of behavior marked by acts of generosity, consideration, rendering assistance or concerns for others without expecting praise or reward in return. Now, kindness is something that can be expressed in many different ways. It could be, through showing empathy. It could be through acceptance or thoughtful actions. Kindness is about being generous with others, giving your time, money, talent to support those who are in need. Now, kindness overlaps with compassion. So compassion, sympathetic pity, and concerns for the suffering and misfortune of others. So the word literally means suffer together or co-suffering. Now, compassion is more than just a feeling, though. Compassion starts with feelings of sympathy and empathy, but then puts them into practice to try and alleviate or prevent the current situation. So one of the best examples of kindness and compassion is the parable of the Good Samaritan, which Jesus tells in Luke 10. Now, you probably know the story. A man's walking along a dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell into the hands of robbers. They left him half dead on the road. And then two men walked by, a priest and a Levite, who both wanted nothing to do with the situation. And they just walked by on the other side of the road. They lacked compassion and kindness. Luke 10:33 tells us, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he put the man on his own donkey, and he took him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. The Samaritan, of all the people, was the one who showed mercy and compassion. Remember, Jews hated Samaritans. It was a horrific hatred. To a Jewish person, there was no such thing as a good Samaritan, because no Samaritan could ever be good. It was an oxymoron. But in the story, it was the Samaritan, rather than the Jew, who, as the text says, was the one who showed pity on him. He was the one who went the extra mile to show compassion to this man who could not help himself. And Jesus reminds us that we are to go and do likewise to those who need to be shown compassion and kindness. Why does God require of his people to show kindness and compassion? Well, the answer, like so many of the answers to the why question in this series, simply because kindness and compassion are the characteristics of God himself. And we find this particularly in the Psalms. So, for example, Psalm 100 verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Or Psalm 107 verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And you might say, hang on a minute. Those verses don't use the word kindness or compassion, and that's true. But there is an explanation. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek. And along the way, the Old Testament was translated from the Hebrew into the Greek. And that translation is known as the Septuagint. The word for kindness, which we find in Ephesians 4:32, is the same Greek word we find in the Septuagint in these verses. And indeed, there are 14 occurrences of the word for kind or kindness in the Psalms, and in all cases, they actually refer to God. In the Hebrew word is actually kesed, which I've talked to you about before. It's a word which has no complete English equivalent, and so it could be translated as love or kindness or loving kindness or loyalty, compassion, mercy or grace. And a translation which seems to capture more of its essence is covenant love. It's the idea of faithful love in action, but expressed in the covenant relationship with his people. It's a word which expresses the very character of God. But there are also plenty of other references in the Old Testament we could go to as well. So Jeremiah 9:24 says, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Jesus says that God's kindness extends to the ungrateful and the wicked in Luke 6:35. Jesus, the embodiment of God the Father in various places in the gospel, shows kindness and compassion, such as to the widow at Nain, to lepers. And as he gazed over the crowds, who he saw as sheep without a shepherd. The Apostle Paul asked the great question of humanity in Romans 2:4. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance. God is the ultimate example of what kindness and compassion looks like. God's ultimate kindness and compassion is seen in the way that he treats sinners. So as we've already seen this morning, Psalm 103:8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Now, a while ago, I sent a friend of mine an email who I hadn't made contact with for a while, and I asked him how he was going. He replied by saying he was going well, and that God had been treating him better than what he actually deserved. As sinners, we deserve God's wrath and anger, but in Christ we receive grace and kindness and compassion. Kindness is not something that you can buy from a supermarket. It's freely given and it's never deserved. And that's exactly how God treats us day in, day out. Everything we have is an expression of his kindness. And for that, we should be thankful. Now, maybe this morning you've never known the full extent of God's kindness to you expressed in his Son, the Lord Jesus. If so, he invites you to come to him and experience forgiveness for your sins through putting your faith and trust in him. Because there's no better thing, no greater gift than having your sins forgiven by a gracious and compassionate God of the universe. Paul says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. In the original, the command is actually on the word be. So literally it reads, and be to one another kind, compassionate, forgiving each other just as Christ also forgave you. Being kind and compassionate is something that we are. That's why kindness is actually listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's something that the Holy Spirit works in us to bring that about. So if you want to be more kind and compassionate towards one another, then the place to start is in prayer, asking God to help you to be more kind and compassionate towards one another. You may need to spend some time reading God's word and looking at God's compassion and kindness. Spend some time in the Gospels reading about how Jesus treated various people. And there was a lady who was always went to the branch post office in town because the postal employees there were very friendly. She went there one day to buy stamps just before Christmas one year, and the line was particularly long. And someone came out to her and pointed out that there's no need to wait in line because there is a stamp machine in the lobby. I know, said the woman, but the machine won't ask me about my arthritis. Being kind and compassionate, it doesn't require a degree in rocket science. It's an attitude. It's looking for opportunities to display Christ and his kindness. So over time, for example, I've built up a collection of shopping bags because too often I've forgotten them and had to purchase them when I go to the shops. So now when I go shopping, I always take extra bags than what I need. So if the person behind me in the checkout has to purchase a bag, I can offer them one of the spare ones that I have. When someone spills their groceries on the floor, why is it it's the Christians who are slow to go and get there and offer assistance? Whenever I hear the word compassion, I tend to think of the organisation Compassion, of which Amy and I sponsor a number of children. Now, compassion have a very simple framework through the 3C approach. They are Christ-centered, child-focused, and church-based. Now, some time ago, I got a letter saying that one of the children, Raphael, who I was sponsoring, was no longer part of the compassion program for various reasons. And at the time, I felt rather sad about that. But I went back and I checked his last letter that he wrote to me, and it said this. He said, "Dear Craig Nicholas, hi there. Raphael is doing fine here. He joined a race and won the second place. God loves Raphael and each one of us. He feels so happy to have a very kind-hearted sponsor like you. During holiday, he went to Monado City to play in the beach with his mother. Thank you very much for always praying for him. May God bless you all the time. Assisted by Stanley, who is a friend." Now, I'll probably never see Raphael in my life, but I know that his life has been touched by the kindness of God through me. And I know that he's appreciative of that, and I pray that he may know the fullness of the kindness and grace of God in his life. Now, you don't have to sponsor a child through compassion to be kind to someone. It's a great way, but it's not the only way. The key message is you need to work out in your context, in your life circle, how you can bring the kindness and compassion and mercy of God into someone's life. That's the challenge which we all face, and we now need God's help to do it. So let's ask him to help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've been kind and merciful and compassionate and gracious to us, even though we are so undeserving. And Father, it is our prayer this morning that you might help us to be kind and compassionate and caring to one another. Father, for some of us, this might be a struggle. And so we pray that you might strengthen us in that struggle. Father, help us to see the opportunities that are out there to bring your love and compassion into people's lives. Forgive us for the times where we don't make the most of those opportunities, or Father, we ignore those opportunities. Father, please work in us that kindness may be one of the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Father, we know we can't do this by ourselves, but we need your help, so we pray that you might help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to conclude our service by singing that great hymn, Love Divine or Love Excelling. It's on page 17 in the songbook. It's a great reminder again of God's love and kindness to us. So let's stand and sing this together.
Love's excelling joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh breathe thy love, Spirit, into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find that second rest. Take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega, as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy life. Turn and never. without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love.
Everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his children with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and precepts and remembers to obey his precepts. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. We have morning tea over in the hall. Thank you for joining us if you're online, and we'll see you next week.